And his disciples also followed him. And when he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them at about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had his come to his disciples, he found them sleeping in sorrow, from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." We will also be reading from Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. And much more, having been reconciled, we have been saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received a reconciliation."
It's good to be here on this morning as we come to worship God in spirit and in truth. I do want to say that as we look at today's lesson and we close out the theme of this month dealing with love and ready to give answer because of the love we have for our God and for our fellow man, that we discuss a very difficult topic, which all of us who are striving to do the will of God find themselves falling short. We understand that the very epitome, the highest standard of love, is the God of heaven. For he himself is love. One thing about love, it is very difficult to apply. Yet, the Bible teaches us in John 15 and verse number 5 that we can do all things by Christ. Jesus says in that text right there, "Except you abide in me, you can do nothing." And friends, we know for a fact that as long as we abide in Christ, then as we develop the attitude of love, seeking the highest and best interest of another, then we know that we can be not only faithful, but we can be successful. As we think about love that is demonstrated and the text that was read in our hearing, we see the highest form of love in the giving of one's life in the person of Jesus Christ. In order for us to achieve what God desires for us to achieve, we have to first dig deep into our hearts. Friends, this requires us examining ourselves, whether we be in the faith. This requires us looking into our hearts and ridding the pride, resentment, vengeance, anger, laziness, self-righteousness, unforgiveness, bitterness, covetousness, and the list goes on. Friends, we think about that and it requires us developing a secure trust in God and in his word. Friends, when we consider this, we think about what Solomon said a long time ago as it relates to trusting in the Lord and in the power of trusting in the Lord and leaning not into your own understanding. God wants us to trust him. But it's difficult to love if we don't trust God. It's difficult to love if we don't read his word and trust his word. Meaning that we're not running after the teachings of men, but we are drawing near unto God. Friends, this requires us to refute any false notion that's in our hearts. And the only way that we can do that is to go to the greatest love book, the Bible, the Word of God. which teaches us how to live for God, which teaches us how to deal with even the issues that hinder us from developing God's love in our hearts. But also, if we're going to be that people that God desires for us to be concerning love, we must have a determination to fight for our salvation. Friends, we have to keep in mind that this definitely is a spiritual warfare. Satan does not fight fairly, and why should he? He is after the souls of men. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 6 and verse number 10 that we are waging war. And the hardest person to wage war with is self. The hardest person to overcome is self. No wonder Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse number 23 that if anyone come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow after me. Friends, as we talk about this love that is demonstrated, we must be willing to study to fight off sin in our own lives. We must be willing to struggle in our lives, to understand that the teachings of God make us stronger, not the commandments of men. That we're willing not only to fight ourselves, but to also contend with our children, even willing to contend with them up to any age. Why? Because we desire for them to be saved. We desire for them to receive that crown of righteousness. We desire for them to be like their Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. So this love that is demonstrated, it can be demonstrated in so many ways. Friends, I want us to take in consideration for a few minutes before we go even into the text. You're probably wondering, what's taking him so long to get to the text? Friends, I want us to consider these things. Love is seen in many ways. It can be demonstrated in many ways. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But friends, the love that God has for us, when we think about the demonstration of love that God has for us, it is an outgrowth of the result of love. In 1 John 4 and verse number 8, the Bible teaches us that God is love. And that love can be seen in the proclamation and the telling of truth, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. We understand that love can be seen even in our good works, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 1. We understand that our love can be seen in the benevolence we have and that we do toward our fellow man, Matthew 25. But we know that love is truly demonstrated when we keep the commandments of God, John 14, verse 15. Oh, friends, we see people and we hear people saying, I love you all of the time. But truly, love is when we keep the commandments of God. Love is demonstrated. Love is an action, not just an emotion. Why? Because the end of the commandment is love, 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 5. So what about this love? How is this love demonstrated? Turn to Romans chapter 5 real quick, that which was read in your hearing. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 through 11 as we read for emphasis sake. Notice what your Bible there has to say as we talk about these things just for a few minutes. The Bible there teaches as Paul is talking to the Roman brethren, and as he brought up individuals such as Abraham to show the Roman brethren that they were not justified by the law, but justified by faith in Christ Jesus. And that God truly demonstrated a great love for mankind, not for those who were following him already, but for even those who hated him. For when we were still without strength, while we were yet sinners, the King James Version says, in due time, at the right time, Galatians 4:4, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we hated him, while we sinned against him, while we did that which was wrong against God, he loved us more than we loved him. Notice what the Bible continues to say. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, meaning brought back into a relationship to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled, being brought back into that relationship with God, we shall be saved by his life. Whose life? Not ours, Christ. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. Friends, what great love that we have. What great love that we see. And I think about sometimes even as the people of God, and how at times we find ourselves being mistreated. We find ourselves on the short end of the stick, if you will. We find ourselves developing attitudes and during situations and circumstances, and we begin to have that embittered mentality. We begin to have that downtrodden mentality. We want to give up. We want to just leave the faith, if you will. But friends, God demonstrated his love toward us while we were sinners, that we may be saved. If anything, God wants us to reciprocate that love. He wants us to give that love back. Even though it may get tough and get hard, we understand that we have to be a people who are going to lean on God. But we think about this demonstration of love. It is seen in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as God gave him for the satisfaction of our sins, 1 John 2 and verse number 2. It was the Isaiah of old who talked about this Jesus Christ, who was going to be that lamb that was led to the slaughter, Isaiah 53, 1 and 2. And no wonder John, as he sees Jesus coming in the horizon, Brother Braswell, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." What great demonstration of love. And he wanted us to be saved. If anything, love validates. Y'all stay with me. Love demonstrates. Love is not something that is just said but shown. And no wonder Jesus, when he was on the cross, Brother Rick said, "It is finished." Why? Because not only did I say I was going to go die for the sins of mankind, I actually did it and I finished the work. And no wonder Jesus, as he was by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2 and verse number 23, came to die for the sins of mankind, thus showing mankind that I love you enough to die for you. We hear people all the time saying, "I love you." But what does that mean? What does it mean to truly love God? How do I demonstrate that love toward God? Do I demonstrate that love toward God by my lackluster mentality toward him or attitude? Friends, God desires for us to hear what he has to say. And therefore, I want us to turn to Luke chapter 22. And I want us to take notice of these things, because it doesn't matter what has happened in your life. If you have been baptized into Christ, if you are a member of the Lord's church, if you have been saved from your sins, God demonstrated that love towards you. You accepted that love by obeying his son. And now what God desires for you to do is to dig way down deep and love him enough to hang in there and do his will. Everything that happens to us is not our fault, but everything that we do in response to that will be. In Luke chapter 22, as we take our time and look at this text, as we ponder these things in our heart, I want you to write these particular passages down in your notes, if you're taking notes. Matthew 26, verses 36 through 46. Mark 14, verses 32 through 42. And John 17, the whole chapter. The reason why I'm giving you those passages, because it is at this particular time Jesus is about to go to the cross. It's at this particular time, friends, Jesus had just instituted the Lord's Supper by eating the supper in the upper room, if you will. He kept the Passover with his disciples. He knew that his death was on the horizon. But he understood that before he got to his death, he had to go through a scourging. He had to go through a beating. He had to go through some mental and emotional breakdown, if you will. Oh, friends, when we think about what took place in the garden, we think about this man who is pouring out his very heart to God. Friends, as the people of God, we find ourselves in these predicaments all of the time. Sometimes we find our lives on a high, and sometimes we find our lives in a low. Sometimes we find our lives on the mountaintop, and then sometimes we find ourselves in the valley. Here, at this particular time, even though Jesus was in the valley of his life, it was a mountaintop experience because he was going to be doing something for the people who hated him. Friends, we think about this and the intensity of our Lord and the anguish that he went through. We see the love demonstrated by Jesus Christ, our Lord, this undertaking that he was about to endure. And sometimes we're so full of self that we forget about what the selfless one did. What Jesus was about to endure and undertake was going to be to the reconciliation of the sinner to the heavenly one. And how does a sinful man approach a holy God? It's through the sacrifice and selflessness of Jesus Christ. We're going to see a love that is demonstrated beyond measure. We're going to see this man in anguish. We're going to see him talking to his father. And I venture to say this, friends, and I fail in this area. I know I fail in this area. That the only way that Jesus Christ was going to be able to endure the hardship and the heartache that he was about to endure, he had to be in constant communication with his Father. And at times, as the people of God, we find ourselves out of communication with our Father. Communication has always been something that we lack. We lack it at home. We lack it in the church. We lack it with our fellow man. But I venture to say, when we lack it with God, life gets tough, and it gets tough fast. This man, Jesus Christ, was about to endure agony and pain. Yet, we knew that Jesus Christ relied upon the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. We knew that he was the one that was going to be providing that comfort, that we ourselves can be a comfort one for another, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. We know that as we look at this man's life, that he was going to be not only betrayed, but he was going to be put in positions and circumstances that was beyond his control, and he knew the one that was going to get him through it, and yet he still had his mind made up that I'm going to demonstrate this love toward mankind, even though the very ones that are doing me wrong are going to have the opportunity to be saved later on, and if they don't, the very ones that are doing me wrong today are going to stand before me on that last day. That's the God we serve right here. Notice the text. The more I thought about this, the more I was thinking how sometimes it's easy to look within and say, you know, I'm tired. I'm done. I'm out. I'm done holding on to sound doctrine. I'm done staying with the same spouse. I'm done with these hard-headed kids. I'm done with the world that I live in. I'm done with brethren that could care less about me. I'm done with my own failures and things that I have to deal with. And friends, I come here this morning to tell you that if Jesus could hang in there, we can too. Notice the text. Notice the text. I chose Luke 22 rather than Matthew 26, because of some things that are in this text that are not found in Matthew 26 and Mark 14. This text right here, friends, is graphic. This text finds our Lord at the depths of his soul. And sometimes when we look into the depths of our soul, it scares us. Therefore, we run from the depths of our soul and we run to things and run to people that can't help us. But it is at this time that our Lord, as he finds himself in the depths of his soul, he runs to his Father. That's where he runs. Notice verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives. And as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. For this place, according to Matthew 26, is the Garden of Gethsemane. This is a place where he and his disciples spent much time. You know, every now and then you have to have a Gethsemane. You got to have your own yonders place. There's a place where you can take people. And then there's a place where you can take those who are real close to you. But then there's a place that only you and God need to be. Notice the text, verse 41. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. And he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Notice the text there, friends. Jesus here, I believe, is fighting himself. He's fighting the flesh. He understands that he, in his flesh, wanted to do the will of the Father, but we see that his will was also rising, but then we find him suppressing his will, and that can only take place through proper understanding of the will of God and prayer, communication with God. Hence, we understand that he knew God's will. He knew why he was here. He knew that he came to save men from their sins, and he knew that he had to make it to that cross. But then notice the text. And it's amazing that when he said this, then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, empowering him, giving him the strength emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually that he needed in order to continue to fight the good fight, to keep his focus on the cross, to continue to look at the mission in which he was here, and that is to seek and save mankind, to be the propitiation for their sins, in order for them to have a relationship with the Father which is in heaven. Stay with me. Verse 44. And being in agony, friends, this is our Lord here. Notice what God had to go through, what Jesus had to go through in order to demonstrate this faith, to demonstrate this love. He had to be in agony. And sometimes in our lives, it's nothing but agony. Nothing but struggle and problems. As we try to hold fast, Brother Rick, to sound doctrine, we got to deal with brethren that don't want sound doctrine. That's agony. That's perplexing. It rains on us. It plagues us, if you will. And he prayed more earnestly. Notice the fix to the agony. The fix to the agony is that he prayed more earnestly. But then notice the text. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood. Friends, nowhere else is this found in any other text. Just right here. Notice what our Lord was going through. Notice what he had to deal with. Notice what love encountered. And notice what love cost. It cost him as he was sweating, as he was praying to his Father. Friends, he wasn't running a mile. He wasn't doing no calisthenics. He was praying. He understood what he had to endure and go through. Even the psalmist understood that in Psalm 22. As he is looking down the corridors of time and he is seeing us or having us to see Jesus Christ and what he had to go through. Notice the text. Great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Literally, his blood was clotting in his sweat glands. Blood was coming out of his pores. because of the intensity Jesus was experiencing. A real medical issue. Hemopoidrosis. The breakdown of the sweat glands. Because of the intensity. The agony. And what he was going through. Not for himself, but for us. The agony that he was experiencing was rough mentally and emotionally. But he did that for us. The love that he had for us was beyond the scale, if you will. And notice what he goes on to say. Verse 45. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, stop the tape. Can you imagine what he looked like when he finally came to his disciples after being mentally and emotionally and spiritually almost bankrupt? Can you imagine what he looked like? Can you imagine the blood that's on his forehead? Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what his disciples were thinking and the agony that he was dealing with? Friends, I believe sometimes, well, let me just go ahead and say this. Mike Bonner reads over this sometimes. We read over what Jesus went through for us. And as he was going through this, notice the strength that he displays. This is so encouraging. He found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray lest you enter into temptation. Go to Matthew 26 and verse 46 real quick. And notice what Matthew records concerning this very last statement that we just made in this text. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 46, notice what your Bible there says. He says, rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. Oh, the strength to know that his betrayer was at hand because of his communication with God. He is about to enter into one of the most graphic and painful events of anyone's life. Yet, this was going to be a great demonstration of love. A demonstration that only he could have endured. As we close, I want us to consider the end of Luke 22. In Luke chapter 22, verses 63 through 25, notice what this love took. Notice what it demonstrated. 63 through 25, you go back and you read it, we see humiliation and beating. Our Lord was humiliated in verse number 64. They blindfolded him, Brother Braswell, and they struck him. They didn't have the enough respect for him. That's the word. To leave him unblindfolded that he could actually see the person that was actually hitting him. In verses 66 through 71, we see that he is unfairly questioned. Yet, he responds in a very mighty way. In verses 72, we see that he is falsely accused. He is falsely accused going into chapter 23, verses 1 through 5. Verses 6 through 12, he is tossed from one courtroom to the other. Verses 13 through 19, he is taken the place of a known criminal, Barabbas. Hold on, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't guilty of anything. Yet, here's a man that has been charged with insurrection. And he is taken the place of a guilty man. Sounds like us. He took our place. Verses 20 through 25, he is delivered, scourged, and crucified. Now let's make our way to the cross. Friends, before we go to the cross, You think about whatever you're dealing with. You think about the most heinous thing that has ever happened to you. And you ask yourself, is it worse than what Jesus went through? If he can make it through this, then I can make it through whatever I'm dealing with. If he can make it through this, that means I can get past any false doctrine that may come my way. Any false action that may come my way. Anything that may come or enter into my life, the death of a loved one, the murder of a loved one, the mistreatment of a loved one, I can get through it. I can do this. So what do we see with this Jesus? I'm amazed at what our Lord went through. John 19, verse 18, he's between two thieves. He's humiliated, verses 23 through 24. They removed his clothes, Brother Dennis. They shamed our Lord. Some of us have the audacity to wear nothing today and feel no shame. I said it. And yet they shamed our Lord. They took his clothes off of him. Think he went around taking his clothes off? I beg to differ. They wanted to make a mockery of our Lord. They wanted to make him ashamed. It's bad enough they were about to put him on a cross. But then to rip him of his clothes. Think about this. Think about this love that he went through. You know what this teaches us, friends? That God was willing to be humiliated in order for us to have our sins washed away. This love continues to shine even while he's on the cross. Go to Matthew 27. In Matthew 27, we find our Lord in verse number 46, Sister Evelyn. We find him saying something that's powerful. He's calling on God. And if anything, this is what we do. We call on God. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Oh, the God of heaven knew exactly what his Lord, what his son was doing for us. He was taking on our sin. This is after they have scourged him. Now they're crucifying him. They got him between thieves. But then notice Luke chapter 23 and verse number 34. Our Lord shines even more as his love is being demonstrated on the cross. In verse number 34, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. In verse number 43, he tells the thief that is next to him, the other reviled him. But this other one had his senses. He understood why he was there. He understood his position next to the Savior. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. He's shining. Our Lord shines on the cross. Even though he's been mistreated, he's been battered, he's been bruised, his visage is marred. John 19, verse 26 and 27, he's continuing to shine on the cross as he leaves his mother in good care. Behold, thy son. He leaves the one in whom loved him in good care. Behold, thy mother. I said, yes, in good care. Why? His mother took care of him, and she knew that she'll take care of John too. John 19 and verse 28, his body is shutting down. His organs are shutting down. He's becoming thirsty. And he says, I thirst. You see what our Lord is going through? You see the love that's being demonstrated by Jesus the Christ? But then you go back to Luke 23 and verse number 46. And he acknowledges God by saying, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he says, it's finished. Friends, I don't know what love can outdo that. There's nothing that can outdo that. And I can understand why we fall short. Because at times in our lives, Our love is based upon our definition, not his. I ask that we look at true love. True love digs deep. True love looks at the goal. And even some of our own brethren are saying that heaven is not the goal, it's mine. It's my goal. But you gotta be like Christ and think like Christ and look like Christ in order to get there. You gotta love like Christ. You have to listen to Christ. And it's all about Christ. It's all about what he desires and what he wants. And when we look at the life of Christ, friends, you can't leave out what he did in the end. I believe Jesus, he shone all the way through. But Jesus truly shined in the garden. He truly shined when all of the odds were against him. For he knew that no one was going to be there for him but his God. And sometimes in this life, friends, all we have is God. And that's why Jesus was sent. So I said all of that. I got one point. All that was introduction and discussion. I got one point. Dig deep. Follow through. Here, well done. Sometimes we give up. We give up the race. We allow false doctrine. Brother Martin, why you keep saying that? Because that's what we do. We allow false teaching to enter in our lives and we chase it. We run right away from the Lord. We allow circumstances and situations to come into our lives and it creams us. And friends, there is nothing that a child of God can get through without God. And with God, we can do all things. We can make it. I believe that's what Christianity is all about. Being able to take a licking and keep on ticking. The young folk don't know about that slogan, but the old folk do. What was that? Timex. Remember that? Timex, take a licking and keep on ticking. You know what Jesus did? Took that licking. Kept on ticking. No wonder he could say, you don't take my life, I freely give it. Christians, what's causing you to want to leave Christ? You want to truly demonstrate love? You hang in there and you do what God says. Amen? You hang in there with your spouse. You hang in there with your children. You hang in there with the church. You hang in there and you do God's will and you allow the chips to fall where they may. Because here's the bottom line. Jesus said it like this. What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? You know what it means? There's nothing on the face of the earth that's more valuable than you. And Jesus demonstrated that on the cross. And no wonder the power of God because of his obedience, Brother Shirtle, they put him in that borrowed tomb. You know why it was borrowed? Because he wasn't going to keep it. God raised him up on the third day. You know why God raised him up on the third day? So we ourselves could have eternal life and follow in the same steps. Romans 6 verses 3 through 6. And because of that, God raised him up and put him on his right hand, and now he's reigning as king right now on David's throne. That's the God that we serve. And I don't care what's going on in your life, you go through the king to get to the Father. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Maybe you're not a child of God, and you've been going through everyone else and everything else to try to get to God. You can't do it. You can only go through Christ. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And then God will add you to his son's church. Live faithful even to the point of death. And God will give you the crown of life. But maybe you're a child of God and you've been thinking about leaving. Thinking about giving up. My question is, to whom shall we go? Yeah, the words to eternal life. Friends, I don't care what's offered to you. Eternal life is worth more than what's offered to you down here. As the people of God, we win. We're victorious. And praise be to God, we don't have to take a licking like what our Lord took. As we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.